The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it."
"If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is about confessing, right? Yes, it's about what we call confession when we ask God to forgive us. But today is more about confessing what we believe. These two will confess soon. So today the church reflects on the gift of the Spirit which was given to us at Pentecost. And the church celebrates the day of Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection. And Pentecost, if you remember, is a time the church recalls when Jesus again promised that "I will give you the gift of the advocate, the gift of the Holy Spirit upon your lives, so that we aren't orphaned when Jesus returned to heaven." So that's what we do today. Our church, Trinity Lutheran, celebrates this movement of the Spirit as we affirm these two young women of faith. So today, yay. So today you will be confirmed in faith, and through that special blessing today, we ask God to bless you and to watch over you so that you continue to be faithful disciples of God's love, full of compassion and grace and justice and service towards the world. Well, for centuries, right, Christians have proclaimed that Pentecost was the birth of the church. And it's a beautiful thing to witness this Jesus giving us the gift of the advocate, again, that we call the Holy Spirit. But since we're about confessing today, I need to confess that Pentecost wasn't the first time the Holy Spirit was released or unleashed. Hopefully you don't go, oh. Right? I mean, we believe that Pentecost was the birth of the Christian church, but the first birth of the church happened at creation. It happened in the beginning of the universe. So listen to these words of the Athanasian Creed. It's written in the 4th century, just a while back ago. That we worship one God in the Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Spirit. But the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have one divinity, equal glory and co-eternal majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and the Holy Spirit is. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, and the Spirit is uncreated. That the Father is boundless, the Son is boundless, and the Holy Spirit is boundless. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, and the Holy Spirit is eternal. Those words have centuries behind them. Right? I mean, Pentecost, which we celebrate today, it's a time, again, the theologians say that the Holy Spirit began its work. But when we look at the Athanasian Creed from the 4th century, we see that we have confessed that the Holy Spirit has been working from the beginning. And that's a bit of a shocker, right? When I remember being told in confirmation that the Holy Spirit didn't exist until Pentecost. But that's not what we have believed. That's not what we have taught. right? I mean, we see further proof of this when we read the first chapter of Genesis. If you remember, ruach is that Hebrew word for the Spirit when it says that the Spirit moved over the waters in the beginning of creation. And dare I say that the Holy Spirit was also working through the burning bush? Can I say that the Holy Spirit was on the mountain when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses? And can I say the Spirit was there when we saw that story of the crossing of the Red Sea? Can we say that the Spirit was at work when water came forth out of that rock when the Israelites were wandering through the desert? Can I say that the Holy Spirit was at work when they were leading the Israelites with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night? Right, so today is Pentecost. It's the gift, the time for us that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. But today we can also look at God working throughout the millenniums. Millenniums. Not just our small, short life, but the millenniums. And God's work continues. So both of you in 2005, your parents brought you to that very font. Take a peek at it. I'm sure you remember, right? Look on the cover of your bulletins. Your parents brought you to that font, and there in the water, Pastor Ralph baptized you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That your parents brought you to be baptized and promised to teach you the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, to bring you to worship. And Andrew and I have had the delight and joy, never a pain, to serve you in confirmation. So it was a joy for us to learn your joys and your struggles, to listen to some of your dreams and some of your deep, faithful questions. So today we ask that same Spirit that was here in 2005 when they washed you in the water and the Word, to embrace you as you affirm your faith. You see, confirmation isn't mentioned in Scripture. You won't find that anywhere. But I believe that it flows out of baptism. It comes out of that baptismal promise, right? I mean, confirmation is what I was told when I was confirmed in faith, but today we use those words, that affirmation of baptism, because we affirm that baptism, right? That baptism where God has washed over us with grace and love and compassion. And today then these two young women affirm that in their own life. And so in confirmation, right, we studied what it means to be baptized, that we receive forgiveness of sins, deliverance, and the everlasting gift of life. You see, baptism is one of those means of grace. As Lutherans, we have this wonderful red book that talks about the means of grace. It talks about baptism and communion and forgiveness. And baptism is God's means of grace, where God uses the Spirit to create saving faith in people, in us. So I know you've probably heard this before. I probably say this at every confirmation service, that one of my most profound moments in my faith journey was the day of my own confirmation, many years ago now. And the moment that I loved the most was when Pastor Stenzel asked us to turn to our friends and our family to say the Apostles' Creed. You see, that moment I proclaimed to the world that I believed. It was the day I confessed. So picture this with me, right? Through all the Sunday school lessons, all the worship services I attended, all the moments in youth group, all the times I spent in outdoor youth ministry and confirmation, all those moments of ministry empowered my life of faith to stand in front of those who gave me such faith to say I believe. You see, as baptized people of God, all of us this morning, it's our daily life to carry that baptism every day. To rise, as Martin Luther says, every day, and to remember that we have been washed in God's word and received into God's holy embrace. So that means in all aspects of our life then, in home or school, in our community and nation, our daily work, right, our leisure, citizenship, and friendship, these are all moments that we get to use with our God to share this grace and love that we have been given. Right, I know the Athanasian Creed might be an old document, It might sound a little weird when you read it. But we confess in that creed that the Spirit was at work from the beginning. And can I say with boldness today that the Spirit is still at work? I see it in you too, in your faithfulness, in your willingness to be open to God. And today in our culture, we need people like these two young women who can share the gift of God's grace. It has no limits and has no boundaries. You see, American Christianity today, I fear, is putting more limits on who God can love and who God can't. I hear it all the time. I see it in the news. That we are putting more limits on who God can love and who God cannot love. And at the Rocky Mountain Synod Assembly in Albuquerque, Richard Rohr said this, that when a church starts proclaiming who is welcome in God's kingdom and who is not, he says this, it's the highest form of narcissism. The highest form. And that blew my mind. So instead of limiting God's love, let us as a church do what Jesus says in verse 12. They're shocking words if you want to look in your bulletin. Jesus says, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these. It's probably the most shocking verse for me in Scripture. Why? Because Jesus says that I will do greater works than he did. And that sounds impossible. Impossible, especially for those who know me. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus believes that about us, that Jesus believes that about you, that you will do greater works than Jesus. So you two were incredibly engaging. You asked us some difficult questions that we had to ponder many times Thursday morning after Wednesday night confirmation. We sat in our offices going, whew. Where did that come from? Left field, as they say. But it was a gift. And we thank you for being vulnerable and open with us. This was a blessing. And this day is just as special for us as it is for you. So today, this congregation proclaims to you that your names are written in the book of life, in God's book of life, that it cannot be undone. So this congregation today prays for you and asks God to empower you and embolden you to a lifelong journey of helping this world see a living and loving God. So today is not a starting point, nor is today an ending point, right? It's that odd space. It's not a beginning and it's not an ending. But today is a marker. It's a marker of your lifelong journey in Christ. And as you read these words in Scripture, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." You see, the world calculates grace and love, don't you think? But God gives it away. The world tries to justify God's grace and love, but God gives it away. So as you affirm your faith today, may our confirmands in this congregation give not like the world that limits, but like God whose love is unlimited. And may that today be our confession. Amen.